Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
All right, so I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So we see the original connection between God and man is that, you know, it's like sort of if you see one of those blow up bouncy balls or something like that. And they have the thing where you have to blow it up, you know, and then you push it back in. You know, that's where your nostrils are. That was a joke. I actually thought it was quite funny. That God went, and breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living being. Something that connected man and God right away. He didn't do that to all the animals. Right, he didn't take the tiger, he didn't take the lion, he didn't take the dog, you know, he didn't take the possum and breathe the breath of life into all of them. But man, he did. We were made in the image and likeness of God. There's a very special connection between humans and God. We're made in his image, we're made in his likeness. Yeah? So now I'm going to jump over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 from verse 6, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Pastor Alan Babcock, when back in we were being raised up in his church, the shame of what they had done, this idea that they had walked in the presence of God and had such a connection with God that they literally never realized that they were physically naked. That all of the beautiful animals that God had created, with tiger stripes and a lion's mane, and even a snake has a pattern imprinted on it, and birds of the air, how exotic they all are. And here was this naked creature. And they never really noticed that they were naked because they were so consumed with the spiritual aspect of who God made them to be. They could see the things that existed in the spirit, but they were so not selfish. They were so not selfish. They were so not self-driven that they just never noticed that they were the only creature in the entire world, in the entire creation, that was naked. And the first thing that happened to them when they did what God told them not to do was they felt shame. And then when they felt shame, their attention was drawn to themselves because they realized that what was in them was the source of that shame. And they noticed for the very first time that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and tried to cover their shame. That is the first clothing. They were the first clothing manufacturer. And Alan Babcock used to call it the fig leaf cult. Why? Because it's an attempt to cover your sins with some other ingredient other than blood. It's an attempt to cover your sin by covering it with a fabric or covering it with a leaf or covering the nakedness of your body in this planet that has such beautiful creatures, and here we are naked. So now let's say we're looking to cover our sins. I mean, we're looking to cover our sins. So they sewed together made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And also Genesis 3. Now we get to down a little farther in Genesis 3, verse 21. Before God, you know, God really is mad at, like, all of those. He's mad at the devil, and he's mad at the man, and he's mad at the woman. And it says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Bloodshed, was, this is the first time you see bloodshed, that created an adequate covering for Adam's sin. And so this is the very first time in the Bible, and there's a thing they call the law of first mention. And the law of first mention shows you that the first time something is mentioned in the Bible, it really bears a strong importance of that particular subject for the rest of the Bible. So God made skins out of animals. That means that he killed animals. That means that he sliced animals open and shed their blood to make skins for Adam and Eve before he sent them out of the garden. And that's the first prophetic act of Jesus that you see in the Bible. You see what's yet to come. And I'll share other scriptures that are going to back that up, but without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And that's the key. So the first thing that God does is he says, these fig leaves will never do in covering your sin. And he killed animals and made coverings for Adam and Eve. And then we see in Jesus' day, before Jesus is released into ministry, is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist wears what? For his clothing, animal skins. Because John the Baptist is a representative of the first man, Adam, who was thrown out of the garden with animal skins on him. And Jesus, the second Adam, would come, the Adam that would renew us back to life. And it was the first man, Adam. The second man, Adam, the first man, Adam, said, no way, I'm baptizing you. You got to baptize me. You're the perfect one. You're the Messiah. I'm just me. I'm eating locusts and wild honey. I'm eating wilderness food here. And I got this animal skin on me. But you got to baptize me. Jesus said, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. You're going to baptize me. Because I am not coming into this world as somebody who's not connected to a church. I'm not coming into this world as somebody who's a lone ranger. I'm connecting myself, as a matter of fact, submitting myself to your ministry. Connecting myself with you. That's why it's important to be a part of a family. Even Jesus said, I'm not going to do this alone. I'm going to be a part of a family. Okay? Now we're going to move to Genesis chapter 4. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He also brought of the firstborn of Abel, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. So one guy brings vegetables and one guy brings an animal, right? Blood. Yeah. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. And it's so common in the church, folks, for someone to be blessed by God, somebody to be blessed. And everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. And there's a blessing on them. And then the blessing that you think that it's your, you should be receiving that blessing. You know? It says that Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do the right thing, what you know deep in your heart is the right thing, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. What? Your flesh. Because if you don't do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. That's what that green monster of envy can do. That green monster of envy. You can kill somebody physically, but you can also kill somebody emotionally. You just cut them out of your life. You're dead to me. Right? You're dead to me. Cut them out. And and the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said to him, am I my brother's keeper? Again, rhetorical, but deeper than the deepest language you've ever spoken. Am I my brother's keeper? Are you? I think that's right, the right answer, right? Yes. Jesus, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Right? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes. But I don't really do anything wrong. I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I'm a good Christian. Are you your brother's keeper? Have you heard of your brother in distress? Have you heard of your brother in pain? Have you heard of your brother in a bad place in his life? You know, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. Yep. Answer to that would be yes. And he said, that's such an attitude, isn't it? Are you talking to the God who created everything? What, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. I know that guy. Right? And he says, what have you done? The voice, and we're talking about God's voice now. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. God could hear the cry of Abel, his blood crying out from the ground. That's really serious. The voice of your brother's blood. We're talking about the language of God. We're talking about things that God hears that we don't hear. You know? There's a little bit of the telltale heart in this, isn't there? There's a little bit of that kind of thinking in that. That the things that we do to hurt people resonate with the heart of God, even though we make fig leaf coverings and vegetable offerings. Yeah? His only one offering that's ever been made. Jesus. Yeah? So the King James translates the voice, that Hebrew word, voice, in the Strong's, as the actual word voice 383 times. But it also translates that Hebrew word as noise, as sound, as thunder, as proclamation, as thunderings, and as fame, as other miscellaneous things that it's used to for that Hebrew word. But it basically means voice. It's used 383 times in the Old Testament simply to mean voice. That means the voice of the blood of Abel cried out to God. That's interesting. Now Exodus 7 says this in verse 16. You shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews. Now, who is this? This is Moses. We know we're in Exodus. We know we're talking about Moses, right? Moses comes up to the Pharaoh, and he says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, ain't happening. And finally, they begin this series of plagues. Yeah? And it says, God is talking to Moses. It says, you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. Now we're going to kind of flip around that whole metaphor. And we're going to say that the rivers, many times in the Old Testament, are a picture of the life of God. It's water that gives life to this planet. That water comes from God. It's that God, the Bible says, God sends the rains to water the earth. Right? The first plague to come upon them was turned the water to blood. And what he was saying was, I'm turning the water that God sends to bring life to the earth to the blood that you believe you're strong enough and competent enough to care for yourselves. I'm giving you power, the power that you already think you have, because you're such a great and mighty nation, Egypt, right, at the time. You're such a great and mighty nation. I'm turning the water that God sends to water the land, to bring life, and I'm turning it to blood. Because you think the power of the blood of these Hebrews that you have enslaved, you think the power of your intellect, the power of your flesh, is adequate to sustain you. So therefore, I'm turning this river's water to blood. It's a symbol of the life-giving power of God, even in common grace. We call things like water common grace. God gives water to everybody on the planet. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Jewish person or a Buddhist or Hindu or atheist. Doesn't matter. You get the common grace of water. Right? Leviticus 17. It says, and what this is a part of the law now, right? Moses kind of alliterating the finer points of the law here. It says, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For listen to this, this is important. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Where are we getting to? We're getting to the purpose of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Why do we speak of the blood of Jesus in a reverent way? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. He said, take this cup and drink from it. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood of the new covenant. So what happened in Jesus, in his physical reality, is now spoken in the language of God, which is prophecy. The Bible says prophecy is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we have our little crackers, we break our crackers, right? And we have our little plastic cups of Welch's or whatever it is that we have around here, you know, the good stuff. We're prophesying. We're speaking God's language. And God is looking down at people who are not speaking in English. They're not speaking in Russian. We're not speaking in Swahili. We're not speaking in Spanish. We're speaking in God. We're speaking in prophecy. We're speaking in the prophetic realm. And the actions that we do, we're doing because we're making a statement before God that we're saved by the blood of Jesus, not by fig leaves, not by vegetables, not by our works, not by our goodness. We're saved by the blood of Jesus, and we're making a statement that we break that bread, that Jesus' body was broken on our behalf. As we drink of that cup, we together drink the cup of the blood of Jesus. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, if you remember, they had to take the blood of the innocent lamb and they had to put it over the doorpost of their house. Remember that? Now, the blood of Jesus is applied to the doorpost of your heart. As you receive the table of the Lord and you express your faith through communion, that the blood of Jesus is applied over the doorpost of your heart, that the death angel cannot penetrate that heart. He has to pass over. He passes over. I don't know. It makes me infinitely happy. Baptism. You're not baptized? You got to get baptized. Because you're speaking God. When you get baptized, you're speaking God. You're not speaking English. You're not speaking another language. You're speaking God. Because as Jesus was buried in the earth and was raised from the dead, so you are buried in the waters of baptism. The old man has died and is left in the grave, and the new man, the born again version of yourself, comes forth. You're speaking God. And when you begin to read the Bible and look for God, speaking God, when you read the Word of God and you look for these little signs of things that are prophetic to Jesus and to our walk, then the Bible becomes alive to you. Then you start to laugh and rejoice as you read the Word of God. You understand? We're in the day of great preachers, great teachers, great moralists. But what we want to be is people who learn to speak God and read our Bibles and speak of God's word to each other, because it mixes in our heart back and forth. Not that I have to think of my own revelation so I'm somehow better than you, because I got this great revelation. Now I'm Bob the Revelator. No, it's just for the person who believes. It's for the person who believes and cares enough or is not too lazy to get in that word, start asking the pertinent questions. What's the blood about? What's the blood about? It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your sins. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. That's what Moses is saying back in Exodus. It is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Your good works can't atone for your soul. They're important. They're good. Good people ought to do good works. God's people ought to do good works. It ought to, I mean, we should be so in love, gaga in love with Jesus, that all we want to do is good works. Because we want to see the God that's in us, and we want other people to fall in love with him. And we want them to say, what is it about that guy that he's always so happy? What is it about that guy? What is it about that person who always overtips? What is it about that person who always has an act of kindness? Just Hebrews 22, finally. We can go on and on with this because it's really an important biblical teaching. But Hebrews says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And this is the statement, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved so that you can be the next Billy Graham. Maybe you will be. I hope you are. I hope you are. That the next Billy Graham came out of Cashew Mountain Christian Center, you think I could ever be more proud of anything? But if you stop and help a lady fix her mailbox that you just hit by mistake, that would be okay too. That you care for our Fresh Town cashiers that sometimes are berated by people who are mostly not from our area and treated really poorly, and that we could go out of our way and care for them, the people that serve us. I'm just saying, what does it hurt? What does it hurt? God so loved the world that he gave is the very knee-jerk reaction to being saved by the blood of Jesus is our giving. Yeah? Your giving doesn't save you. Your giving is proof that you are who you are. Care for one another. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. This is a skill set, loving one another. It's a skill set.
Hey guys, this is Jake Johnson coming to you from our On Fire radio studio. We pray this message has encouraged you. And maybe you're listening today and would say, Jake, I want to join this cause. How do I start? Well, I'll tell you, because of our sins, there's no way that we can make it to heaven on our own. But God did send Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. And Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So pray with me today and begin a new life with God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross as a sacrifice for my sins. I repent for my sins today, and I place my life in your hands. I give you all that I have, and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. And fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward today into a new life with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. I want to take this time to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We're at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday at 10 a.m., and we would love for you to join us. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson, signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.